Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today we're in the book of Colossians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and get the Colossians study guide to help you dig deeper. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, welcome back to our study in the book of Ephesians, ladies. Today we'll be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through chapter 4, verse 1. And I've titled this lesson, Roles and Responsibilities. So, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Okay, so if you know anything about the Bible and how it was put together, you know that the chapter and verses that we have in our Bible were not always there. And they were put in there in order to help make it easier for us to find things, really. And the people who put in the verses put a chapter break here that, in my opinion, they shouldn't have put there. But that's okay. I'm not the one who was made that decision. That's why we're going to go all the way through verse 1 of chapter 4. Paul is about to give us some very, very specific guidelines for Christian behavior in relationships. He does the exact same thing, although in more detail, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through chapter 6, verse 9. And in both sections, he starts with the home and those relationships, and then moves on to work relationships. So let's see what he has to say. Well, first of all, we see right off the bat that order in the home is important. God is not the author of chaos, but of order, and that should be reflected in our homes. It has to be said, though, that these roles are not dependent on whether the other person fulfills their role. To a point. Stick with me and you'll see what I mean. Now, look at who Paul addresses first here. Wives. In Rome, it was typical to tell wives to obey. Paul appeals to them to submit, not to fit the cultural patterns, but as fitting to the Lord. Now, look at what he says to wives. Submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. That is how wives should submit to their husbands. They should submit as is fitting in the Lord. Now, consider the relationship that we have with Christ. He is our mediator. We can come to him with any and every concern we have at any time, and know that those concerns will be heard. Wives should have a voice in the home. They should be able to come to their husbands with any concerns they have and be heard. At the end of the day, though, there is an authority structure here, and we are to trust the Lord. And in doing this, we are to trust the husband that God has given us and the decisions that he makes for our families, even when we might not fully agree. The wife should be the husband's most trusted counselor, though. And if at all possible, the husband and wife together should strive to be in agreement in decisions. But if a decision must be made and there's no time for such striving, then the husband is the one who is ultimately responsible to make that decision. Husbands are to love their wives and not be harsh with them. Now, right here, this flies in the face of any excuse that people will use to excuse abuse from Scripture. There is absolutely no scriptural support for abusing your spouse. None. Men are not the king of the house and women the servant girl. No. Husbands' goals should be the growth and health and well-being of their wives, not their obedience. Violence, threats, and cruel words are not acceptable in a Christian home. Husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. We see that explicitly in Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The reality is, the authority in the home is the husband. And even from both of these passages, look at who has the greater amount of direction given. The men. They have the authority, but that also means that they have the responsibility. And while some would try to say that the relationship between husband and wife should be one of mutual submission, Paul doesn't leave us wiggle room for that. This is not a matter of mutual submission. Let's look a little further in this passage and see what Paul says next. Children, obey your parents in everything. So wait, the context of this direction to children is given with the guidelines for husbands and wives. If you want to argue the issue of mutual submission in the home, well, then you're going to have to include children in that because it's here in the context. That would mean then that parents should be submitting to children. And that's upside down and backwards. It doesn't work. No, children are to obey their parents because their parents have the responsibility and authority to care for them in everything. This means all aspects of life. When we are asked or expected to sin by our spouse or as a child by your parents, we have to obey God rather than men, and that's hard. It is. But unfortunately, we women use this as an excuse not to submit more times than I can count. And the reality is, most of the time, we're sinning in doing that. Just as your child doesn't want to submit when asked to take out the trash, you're not wanting to submit when your husband asks that you not make an expensive purchase until after payday. It's simply not justified. Why should children obey? Because it pleases God, period. Our goal, both child and adult, should be to please God, to glorify him and honor him in all we say and do. And fathers, again, parents, again, this passage does not give us an excuse for abuse. Do not provoke your children, or they will become discouraged. Think about that. If all we ever are is a disciplinarian with our children, they will become discouraged because they will think that nothing they do is right. We must have grace when appropriate, while still calling sin what it is, and pointing our children back to the cross every day. Again, Paul goes in further detail on this in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There simply is no excuse for the abuse of our children, just as there is no excuse for abuse of spouses. The Bible doesn't give you that option unless you twist it out of its context to make it say what you want to. God's word is clear, and abuse is not here. Now, before we go forward, a note here on slaves. The kind of servitude that was in the first century was seldom in keeping with God's will. Scripture addresses this without supporting it. Paul is dealing in realities here, the reality of the situation the people were in, but he's not saying that this kind of slavery was a good thing at all. Both the Old Testament and New Testament condemn human trafficking. There are many bondservants at Colossae, though, and Paul treats them with dignity and appeals to them to honor Christ in their hearts, work, and behavior, and these principles apply to employees and employers today. Slaves or workers, obey your masters. Now, don't obey as a yes man, but then be mean and nasty behind their back. Don't pay lip service, but obey sincerely, fearing the Lord. Do your best. Work hard. and be authentic. Do so because you understand the authority that has been placed over you, and pray for those placed in authority over you. Everyone in authority has a greater responsibility as well, and that is made harder when the workers and masters are working against each other instead of with each other. Do your best to work hard, even when you are working hard for someone who may or may not appreciate your work. Work hard knowing that even though no one else sees how hard you work, God does. Paul does not approve of the Roman system of servitude. Again, he is providing instruction to believing masters and servants regarding their relationship to each other in the Lord, and most of all, regarding their relationship to God and how to glorify Him in all aspects of their lives. Masters, you also do not have an excuse to abuse. Knowing the real master for all of us is God, and knowing that He will judge perfectly, realize you are only an overseer for the real master and behave like it. The parallel passage in Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9, again gives more detail. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. Paul treats women, children, and bondservants as just as valuable as male members in a Christian home. Now, I don't want to say equal, because when we start to use those kinds of words, we assume that there's actually a metric that must be met. And the truth is, what I may think is equal may not be what my husband thinks is equal. And then when one of us doesn't do what is expected, we cry foul. Now, we need to stop playing that game. This is not about equal, and it's really not even about fair. It's about each person in their different, but not of different value, roles, doing what God has called them to, regardless of circumstances. There must be order, there must be guidelines, or there will be chaos, with everyone striving to have their own agendas met, and there will be fighting and continual discord in the home. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not man. At the end of the day, are you working in a manner that brings glory to God, glory to yourself, or that disparages God? Do you wait until the boss isn't around and then slack off, only working diligently when you're being watched? Guess what? You're always being watched by your Father in heaven. Now, that's not a threat. That's just the truth. Are you working hard to please Him all the time, or doing just enough to get by? Your reward will be from Christ. If your reward is from men, well, that's all you're going to get. You have no eternal hope, and that's really hard to hear. Now, we will get praise from men when we work hard and do a good job. Don't misunderstand that. However, ask yourself if you would continue to work hard if the praise you got from others were cut in half. We should work hard, doing our best simply because to do so honors God. And when we are praised, we should give the glory and honor back to Him as well, because the truth is, He is the one who gave you that job and the ability to do it. So honor Him for His gifts, and don't take credit for what you can't take credit for. The wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. We all will give an account, and that should scare us. Seriously, we should have the fear of God before our eyes. We should never lose sight of who it is that we worship and what He has saved us from. His wrath. He is fearsome and worthy of honor and praise, always. From the very beginning of creation, God ordered relationships, especially within the family. Family was His idea, which is why He takes it seriously when we try to create our own version of family. We do have guidelines for our behavior and our relationships with family in the working world. Above all, we are to behave in a manner that brings glory and not shame to Christ. Because we know whom we serve, because we know whom we follow, our relationships should be different than the relationships of the world. And when we are asked about this, when we are seen as different or questioned or praised because of our difference, All the glory goes to God. This is not about us. This is some hard stuff, and I know that, especially if you have anyone in authority over you in your life who does not honor God in their actions. This whole thing becomes more difficult. Be prayerful. Take your concerns to God and submit to those in authority over you where it does not cause you to sin. But if there is a sin issue or an abuse issue, please seek the counsel of your pastor and elders and proceed with care and caution. Please know that abuse is not honoring to God. Now, these questions today will stomp on your toes a little bit, so brace yourselves. I'm asking them with the assumption that there may be a sin tendency in each of these situations, and I'm doing that on purpose. Far too often when we hear if, we justify our sin and excuse ourselves and say, oh, well, that one doesn't apply to me. So instead of if, I'm asking questions today under the assumption that there is a sin there. Now, there may not be a sin issue in all of these circumstances in your life, but in an effort just to help us really examine ourselves, I've chosen to ask these questions a bit more directly. So, if you are a wife today, ask God to help you to see clearly how you have been attempting to, or may actually be accomplishing, usurping your husband's authority. If you're a parent, ask God to show you how you have been causing your children to be discouraged and repent of that. If you are a worker who has been giving it less than your all, repent of that. Remember who you are working for. If you are an employer, ask God to help you to see where you have abused the authority you have been given and repent. The life of a Christian should be one of repentance and change and growth as we are sanctified to be more like Him. If you truly think that you have nothing to repent of today, then repent of your pride because you are likely blinded to the sin that still is rooted in your life. We all struggle with sin. The good news, the best news, is that God is gracious and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness when we ask for forgiveness. And He is the one who will provide the strength and tools that you need going forward to honor and glorify Him in all that you do. We serve a mighty, powerful, and gracious Lord. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of the website naomistable.com, Day 12, Roles and Responsibilities.